The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
As we welcome you to NFL Live. And listen, today is exciting for a variety of reasons, but mainly because we are all together. What's up, everybody? We told Dan not to do that, but he did it anyway. Dan Orlovsky's here. Mina Kimes here. What's Marcus Spears is here. And I think we're a little excited. We're here, right? Oh,
yes, we here.
We here.
And first of all, if you thought this show was going to start off talking about football, nope. We all together for the first time since the inception of this show, so let's get it popping. All right, Laura, back
later
to you.
On, Marcus is going to give Baker Mayfield his flowers, so you don't want to miss that. This Monday, I mentioned, it's special for a variety of reasons. We do have two games tonight, less than an hour away of kickoff from this Steelers-Washington game. Big Ben has been questionable throughout this week, and we're going to find out whether or not we'll see him on the field starting this game. For that, let's go to Adam Schefter with the latest.
Well, Laura, I'm jealous that I am not in studio with the rest of you all, but Ben Roethlisberger, who's listed as questionable for tonight, is active to the surprise of nobody. The Steelers listed him on their injury report with a knee injury, with playing a short week on Wednesday against the Baltimore Ravens. And he is active and he is going to start tonight. Won't be an issue, that knee. Won't be an issue with any other ailments tonight. At this particular point in time, he will be out there. However, James Conner, the Steelers running back, did not get activated off the reserve COVID list. He will not be out there tonight, and so Benny Snell Jr. will start in his place. And the Steelers have a new kicker because Chris Boswell, their veteran kicker, has been nursing a hip injury, and so he will not play tonight. They promoted a kicker from their practice squad, Matthew Wright.
There you go. Hey, Adam, we can't wait to get you in studio here as well. You're in New York. You'll
Come on, Shefty.
Monday NFL Countdown tonight, so we'll see you there. But let's bring in Jeremy Fowler now, covering the game. Of course, you can watch that at 5 Eastern over on Fox. And, Jeremy, we had to wait to find out if the Steelers would have their quarterback, their starting quarterback tonight. We've known, though, since last week that they'll be without their D-tackle, Bud Dupree. How are they dealing with replacing him?
Well, Laura, they are reeling from that loss in a big way. This is one of their favorite teammates. I spoke to several Steelers who said he's the most likable guy in the locker room, and they know he kind of underachieved in his first couple years. Now he's a bona fide superstar around these parts, and so they are devastated. And I talked to a veteran Steeler who said, look, we know offenses are going to slide their protection even more toward T.J. Watt's side, but that Watt has answered the bell in his career every single time in a big way. So they expect the same now. And they really like Alex Highsmith, Bud Dupree, replacement. I've talked to coaches that said that he's smarter beyond his years and that he may not be Bud Dupree yet, but they think in the future he can be something close to that.
All right, more Jeremy Fowler as we get closer and closer to kickoff there, so stay with us for that. We'll be getting you ready for that game as well as the Monday night game right here on ESPN. But let's go back to Sunday. Eagles taking on the Packers. Dan Orlovsky, interesting day for Philly quarterback. First quarter here, Carson Wentz sacked by Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, and this has been the story for this football team. Poor offensive line play, holding on to the football too long. This one, Carson just leaves the pocket when it's unnecessary. A lot of bad things happening at the same time.
Eagles forced to punt. The rough day would continue. Third quarter is where we pick it up now. Eagles down 14-3. Wentz trying to get to Zach Ertz there.
That's just a miss. I mean, that's a 6-yard miss. And now you're going to get 3rd and 14. Try to force this ball, hash to the sideline. Receiver's there, but when you're high and hot, there's no confidence in your game.
So here we go to the fourth quarter. Wentz benched, and Jalen Hurts, it's time for him to come into the game. On the first play, we see some of that athleticism.
And this is something that helps their football team. We talked about the struggles with the offensive line. His ability to not hold the ball, kind of tuck it and run, is going to help this poor offensive line.
Later in the drive, it's 4th and 18 in Packers territory.
Yeah, this is awesome. Climb the pocket, eyes downfield, see the defender too close to you, and they got to get that throw up over the top for the touchdown. It's a great start for Jalen Hurts.
You see Wentz clapping on the sideline. Good by him. Next Eagles possession. Last chance to make a comeback. 3rd and 10, and it's intercepted right there by Savage. The Eagles lose. Here's Doug Peterson after.
That's what I was hired to do, to make difficult decisions. And, you know, I did one last or yesterday afternoon. And it got us back in the football game, but it just wasn't enough. I have not made a decision yet. And the offensive line does not weigh into any decisions as to who that might be. you know, I'm still processing a lot of things and going through a lot of things before I make that decision. So when I know, you'll know.
All right, I misspoke. That sound was actually from today. So Doug Peterson with a really tough situation on his hand when it comes to this decision. Marcus, what do you think the Eagles need to do at quarterback?
Start Jalen Hurts going forward. That's first and foremost. And then you get to the point where we start talking about, well, what's Carson Wentz's future? What do you do with him moving forward? The bottom line is this. Doug Peterson's responsibility is to the Philadelphia Eagles football team, not Carson Wentz. And I understand the importance of the quarterback position, keeping him in the zone as far as if he has to play or if you choose to start him. But the bottom line is this. I think at some point during this season, Philly did a bit of a disservice to Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Because he's been struggling for a while.
Right.
Right? And you try to ride the wave and hope that eventually he'll turn
the
corner.
Play himself out of it.
Yeah, we play himself out of it. We can coach him out. I can coach better. We can prepare better. But sometimes your quarterback is just bad, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not Carson Wentz's overall arching definition of being bad. But right now, he's bad. So Jalen Hurts should be the starter because that's a spark and possibly better than what you have.
Yeah, and the reason they're in this situation is confidence. Confidence is the most important thing. It's the easiest thing to lose. It's the hardest thing to get back. And you could see it with this play. Now, why are they in that situation? Well, last year he kind of overcome some stuff, then the draft pick, and now he gets benched. This early on in the game. Just look at his drop right now. This pocket is completely fine. Look at his body angle. He is already determining, even though he's got a one-on-one route up top, I'm going to leave this pocket. Look at the slant of his body. And just watch how his feet come together here. He has already made up his mind. I don't trust my offensive line. I don't trust my guys to get open. I don't trust the play call. So why is that trust or lack of trust kind of showing itself right now? Listen, the draft pick did not help of Jalen Hurts. It didn't. Whether we think it's you should be tougher than that or not, it didn't help. Getting benched was probably necessary. So now where they sit is, okay, moving forward, how do they regain the trust? Do they want to regain the trust? You know, that's the biggest question, whether Jalen Hurts should play or not.
It's complicated because they have two goals at the same time. One, win now, because they are in that godforsaken division. They can still win it, right? And so that's on the table. Two, they want to fix Wentz because financially they're motivated to fix Wentz. If Carson Wentz wasn't on his contract, he would have been benched a long time ago. So this football team is trying to do both of those things. I actually believe playing Hurts is the right decision for both reasons. It helps now because you saw yesterday he gave that offense a spark. His mobility is huge because that is a decimated offensive line. It's an offense that has been, as I've said, a tornado of suck.
Yeah.
They had some moments. He made some nice throws yesterday. He didn't light the world on fire. It wasn't perfect. He looked like a rookie. But he did spark the offense. But also, if they want to fix Wentz, it's not going to happen this season.
Right.
It's not going to happen behind that offensive line. It's not going to happen with the play calling and everything else we've seen. I think the best chance for Wentz to repair his career, and that's really what the Eagles want, is going to happen this summer. So I'm saying ride with Hurts, see what you got. Try to win the division and then reevaluate and make it a competition this summer.
Quickly, does it happen this summer, though, where Wentz can stay with the Eagles? Like, does he want to stay there?
I think it comes down to this. If you believe as an owner and a general manager that the quarterback can be great again, then yes, you stick with them. But you might sit there and go, we don't think we can get him back. We want Doug Peterson as our head coach more than we believe in the quarterback's ability to become great again. Then that's when it becomes a super interesting conversation. And to your point, Mina, like, I get that, but you can't move forward with Jalen Hurts if you believe this would be damaging to the confidence long term for Carson Wentz.
Do you want a guy whose confidence is damaged
by that? But that's a fair question.
No.
Yeah. That's a whole different conversation, right?
You don't. It's too hard of a job.
But it's a real question.
It's a real question. And I get it, but it's too hard of a job. Look, this whole thing is built on competition.
Right.
Right? Like, I get it. Quarterbacks get paid and all of that. It's competition, bro. And when you're not playing well, somebody is waiting. That's football,
that's
period.
Yeah, and Jalen Hurts is no stranger to a quarterback competition. Doug Peterson once again said he'd make the decision maybe by Wednesday, so we'll be all over that. All right, let's get to another big story happening on Sunday. Jets were actually really excited about this terrible defensive call that allowed a Hail Mary touchdown. That's because the Jets still in position for the first overall pick. Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams fired today, as reported by Adam Schefter. Let's go ahead and get updated with more on that. What else do we know, Adam?
Well, Laura, the Jets decided to make the change this morning. Adam Gase said he thought about it overnight, consulted with Jets general manager Joe Douglas, amongst others like Christopher Johnson, and ultimately made the decision to fire Greg Williams in a move that had been percolating for quite some time. These two had gone at each other a little bit publicly. It had gone on behind closed doors, and yesterday became the final straw when Greg Williams went with the all-out blitz on the very final play of the game after having success blitzing earlier in the game against Derek Carr. Still, it was a play where Henry Ruggs ran free, and even though it was a disastrous play for the New York Jets in the end, it may have been disastrous if they would have won. So it really worked out the way that it should have and could have, and now Greg Williams gets the rest of the month of December off after the Jets fired him today and handed the interim defensive coordinator title to Frank Bush, the assistant head coach.
I feel like now's a good time to just give my condolences to Jets fans. But either way, Marcus, when this happened, what did you think when you heard the news? He's upset.
Rub your ears.
Is he meditating?
Okay. Listen, at first I was going to say it doesn't matter because Greg Williams was going to get fired anyway, right? That's the sentiment. Okay. Bottom line is, though, I thought my mind immediately went to the players. This game is too hard for you to give a win away. Like, I know what the talk is and Trevor Lawrence and getting the quarterback and we don't need to win a game. But these dudes, this is their livelihood. Like, that's what people forget. And that's why I apologized last year for saying that Miami was tanking. Mm-hmm. Because at a certain point, I lost my place as a former player and didn't realize, like, yo, every Sunday and every day at practice, we get evaluated by our performance. That's our only resume. And for Greg Williams to put these guys in that particular situation where they could have beat this team and got their first win, that's tanking, right? And not tanking to get a quarterback. That's a coach saying, I don't care. It don't matter. I'm going to just do this anyway.
Tanking his reputation.
Yeah.
You said something important that we should be clear about. Players don't tank.
Right.
Coaches don't tank, which is why the conspiracy theories about Greg Williams yesterday were ridiculous. Organizations play for the long term, which is a nicer way of saying tanking, right? Yeah. And the Jets are undoubtedly doing that. The fans are glad that they've got a good roster to go around. Dan, I mean, it's an attractive job. There's a young core in place if they, you know, have Trevor Lawrence.
No, I totally agree. I mean, if you're going to get Trevor Lawrence with the first pick and then you move on from Sam Darnold, that's five first rounders in the next 2 years. I agree with Marcus. Like, listen, take it from someone who's had the unfortunate reality of being on a team that didn't win a game. Like, that doesn't leave. So now Greg Williams' ego forces those players to have to potentially be on the wrong side of history for the rest of their career.
No doubt.
It stinks. Okay? So this was the right move, at least from the decency of a head coach, to be like, you sold our players out in that moment. I can't have you a part of our organization from this day forward.
As it relates to that number one overall pick, which is also very important here, our Football Power Index has the Jets at a 75% chance to secure that. They'll finish the regular season against the Seahawks, Rams, Browns, and Patriots.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on NFL Live, and Baker Mayfield showed the fighting spirit yesterday against the Titans. The Browns are 9-3, you guys, and Baker Mayfield also made a lot of us who like The Office happy. He channeled his inner Dwight Schrute.
Never seen an episode.
Come on.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
What have you seen? Sorry, I'll
stop. Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, we're all still shook over the fact that Dan has never seen an episode of The Office. We're going to work on that later, but we got to get through this show today. So, Marcus, you've been calling for Baker and the Browns to do it against a good opponent. What did you see yesterday?
I saw it. Baker Mayfield, I saw the light, right? And it went off, and it was huge. What he did in the first quarter, listen, y'all know me. I've been critical of Baker. Thought he was average to below average. That's what the tape said. But this type of performance, last week I said on NFL Live, Baker Mayfield, for me, will be judged by the teams that are good playoff contenders. This was one opportunity for him. Now you want to see the consistency going forward. But some of the things that he did in this game translates to anybody you play. Some throws he didn't make, some things he didn't do mistake-wise was growth, right? The double pump to Peoples Jones that Peoples Jones dropped, he saw a safety breaking on his first read, pumped it, came off, and then should have been a touchdown. You look at the throw to Higgins, it looked poised, just comfortable, knew what he was doing with the football. A lot of things Stefanski did to make Baker Mayfield comfortable as well, giving him credit. But yesterday, that Baker Mayfield makes the Cleveland Browns as dangerous as any team in the league. Ooh. Now, here we go. All right. Ooh. We got Pitt. We got Baltimore. But this was one of those litmus tests. I wanted to see Baker Mayfield throw the Cleveland Browns to a win. And he absolutely did that yesterday.
Okay, but why? Okay, so right now Baker Mayfield playing confident and playing with clarity. So how does that happen? One, you got a really good scheme. Two, you got good players around you. And then three, that scheme is being called by a really good play caller. You talk about the play action pass, not just for the quarterback, receiver and tight end. How about you guys both be a part of our chip? So it's a five-man protection. Play fake is six. Two guys keep those ends protected. Vision on the back. This is a chunk throw. That's easy money. That's how the play action affects your offense. Now, how about 13 personnel? We're in first down. We run the ball more than anybody in the NFL on first down. I'll break the tendency. I'll put three tight ends on the field. Now the defense is going, wait, first down, three bigs on the field, a little bit of shift and motion. Look at all the people near the line of scrimmage for the Tennessee Titans. You got 10 out of the 11 defenders, 6 yards from the line of scrimmage. Crosser by Njoku takes care of the safety. How about this fake? How about this fake by Baker Mayfield? You talk about selling it. It's like a dealer at a blackjack table. No one has any idea where the ball is. DPJ, you got to go win on your route, okay? I dialed it up for you. You go win on your route. That's why there's confidence in the play call and the people around them. But there's also a great amount of clarity on what the – here's my play call. This is what the play calls needed for me to do to execute it. And that's why he's been playing well for about 5 or 6 weeks now.
Amina, so this team is going to the playoffs. Will this Baker Mayfield show up in the playoffs?
Why I got to be the Grinch?
Come on. I
want to praise the Browns because they were
real.
Fantastic.
It's real.
You asked me a question, okay. Baker was excellent yesterday in the first half. Decisive, accurate, took care of the football. The play calling was wonderful.
Sure.
The offensive line, which is the best unit, on this team, the best position group, phenomenal. But the Titans pass rush got about as close to Baker as I am to Laura.
We're very far apart.
Yeah, you can see us in studio.
70 feet apart.
Like, we are extremely far apart. He was pressured once in the first half. Not sacked once. Not hit once, pressured once.
Sure.
And a lot of that has to do with things that are sustainable. Like I said, the Browns' offensive line is arguably the best in football. Some of it is schematic. You talked about all the play action. That helps as well. But they are in for much bigger tests. They're playing the Steelers and the Ravens.
Giants.
No. So we're going to talk about my Seahawks getting embarrassed by them. So I love what I saw from Baker, but it's not going to be that easy going forward.
Yeah, let's see what he does against the Steelers and the Ravens. We got to move, Dan. I know you want to talk, but I'm also going to get a tape measure in the break, and we're going to see if we can measure. I can't even see you over there, meaning you're so far away. What a matchup we have for you tonight on Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. From where we check into the Domino's pregame headquarters, Lisa Salters is standing by. And Lisa, it's been a season full of obstacles for the 49ers. How's the team dealing with the latest one, which is playing their home games away from home?
Laura, the 49ers will be trying to make a December playoff push while being away from their homes and their families. Not ideal, but head coach Kyle Shanahan said, we'll be all right. It's not the end of the world. The organization decided to call Glendale, Arizona home for the next several weeks, and the Cardinals were able to accommodate without any conflicts with their own game schedule. So 49ers players and staffers are living at a nearby hotel in what Shanahan called a, quote, weird existence where they're all together but have to stay apart. It's a short golf cart ride to the Cardinals practice fields, the one place Shanahan says his players can connect face-to-face. Offensive tackle Trent Williams told me, if this wasn't 2020, we'd probably all be in an uproar about this, but we've been through so much adversity already, he said, not just as a team but as a nation. I think we are all just conditioned to roll with the punches. Laura?
Yeah, that's very well said. We'll see you, Lisa, and the rest of the crew in about 3.5 hours on Monday Night Football. Amina, the Bills will be without wide receiver John Brown. How much does that impact Josh Allen's game?
It's huge. I am the longtime mayor of John Brown is underrated island, but it bears out statistically. Look at Josh Allen's splits with and without John Brown. I mean, they are really dramatic, about 20 points lower in QBR this season. You saw it when he went out. Defense is double Diggs. And I think, like, Diggs is clearly the number one. He is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but John Brown stretches the field. He's a big part of why Josh Allen has improved on those deep routes this season. Now, they really like Gabe Davis, the young player, and he occupies sort of a similar space to Brown, but I'm very curious to see if Brian Daboll switches it up tonight, because this Bills offense, we know what they like to do. A lot of play action, a lot of Dan's beloved motion, a lot of 10 and 11 personnel, so that's either, you know, four or three wide receivers on the field. I want to see if they mix it up. This is a very good Niners defense. That's a very smart coordinator that's playing them that is getting healthy at the right time. I mean, should they make adjustments? What do we think?
Well, there goes all my talking points.
Sorry, Dan.
No,
it's all right.
I'm really excited to watch kind of the coordinators tonight. Yeah. I think it's primetime television. And you mentioned Brian Daboll, right? Like, I think he's going to be on a head coaching list for a lot of teams next year. He's got a great feel for, like, modern-day offensive football. You talked about all the different personnels. I love the fact that they're aggressive throwing the ball on first down. Why? It's the easiest down to throw the ball. You know, he spreads the field, gets easy completions for his quarterback, a bunch of RPOs. And then you flip it onto the other side for the 49ers. Robert Saleh, again, going to be at the very top of head coaching candidate lists. And everyone's going to go like, oh, Robert Saleh, all he does is play cover three. Wrong. Like, the adjustment that he has made this year of, I've lost some bodies, now they're playing a lot more quarters coverage, match coverage, they're pressuring a lot more. That, to me, goes, you've got a great feel for what your guys are good at and what your guys aren't good at. How do you need to change? And so I want to see how those two next-year head coaching candidates match up tonight really well.
Yeah, one of the things that Lisa mentioned was just how difficult this 49ers season has been for them and what Kyle Shanahan's had to deal with. What do you expect from the 49ers offense tonight?
Well, I'm so used to you talking about how good Kyle Shanahan is. But I'll talk
That's
about
me,
him
right?
since
That's
nobody
me, actually,
talked about
yeah.
it. Yeah,
it's everybody
you're talking
here.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But listen, this is what Kyle Shanahan has kind of made his name on, right? This adversity that Trent Williams mentioned to Lisa. You think about what has transpired with this offense, losing Kittle and Garoppolo and all of these people.
Receivers.
And they
sure.
find themselves in a position to fight for a playoff spot. Like, I don't know how many teams survived that. Bottom line is, Kyle Shanahan's going to dial up this run game. Anytime we've seen him in these primetime big games, he's wanted to force the issue on the ground. And having Mostert back and being able to keep Mullins out of that area of turning the football over, like he has in spurts sure. and at times play well, he's going to try to ground out the Buffalo Bills. It does two things, right? It gets them into the wheelhouse of what they like to do offensively with how they use motion, jet sweep, and all of that stuff. But it also keeps Josh Allen off the field.
No, it's good time of possession.
Exactly. And that's what he did to Aaron Rodgers last year in the playoffs. So I think that will have a big part of what this game looks like.
Yeah,
and why I have San Francisco.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
One of Mina's favorite players, Matt Milano, the linebacker for the Bills, is actually activated, has been activated.
Whoa.
So
set the edge.
So against that 49ers run game, if they end up running a lot, they'll have to go up against Milano. All right, let's get to the game picks.
My bad.
Listen, we're all on the Bills except Marcus Spears. And Marcus likes the 49ers tonight. Why are you picking the 49ers?
Because I just have a tremendous amount of respect for what this team has done. And it's a bit of an emotional pick, but it's not far-fetched, right? Like, we understand understand what the makeup of this team is. Yeah. Dan just talked about Robert Saleh. I just talked about Shanahan. We talked about a team that's been moved, fought through all type of adversity, and have found ways to win. And not only ways to win, they beat some teams that we think are legit playoff and could make a deep run in it. I'm taking San Fran tonight because every time we take the same damn team, they get blessed.
Well, thanks
so I hope I'm right, and it's going to be the San Francisco 49ers for the Swaggle.
Back here on NFL Live Now, and let's get back to some football. Adam Schefter, believe it or not, week 13 will not be done. Hey, Mina. Following tonight's doubleheader, we have the Ravens and the Cowboys on Tuesday to look forward to. What do we know about the status of Lamar Jackson tomorrow night?
Well, Laura, moments ago, the Baltimore Ravens officially activated Lamar Jackson off the reserve COVID list, and he is on track and in line to start Tuesday afternoon's game against the Dallas Cowboys. He will be behind center. No more Trace McSorley. Robert Griffin on IR. McSorley will be the backup, and Jackson will start on Tuesday. But the Ravens will be without their tight end, Mark Andrews, who's not expected to be activated off the reserve COVID-19 list. Remember, he tested positive 8 days ago. You've got to be on that list 8 or 10 days. So Andrews is not expected to play this week, should be back next week, especially as a type 1 diabetic. They're going to want to be careful. And Drew Brees is making progress from his 11 fractured ribs, an injury he suffered 22 days ago. He is eligible to come off IR this week, but Taysom Hill has not lost a game, and they're winning football games and playing well, and so there's no rush to see if Brees will be back, but they can take their time and make that decision this week. And also should add that today the Carolina Panthers placed eight players, including Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, their wide receivers, on the reserve COVID-19 list. Obviously, they're dealing with a major issue there in Carolina, Laura.
All right, more Adam Schefter at 6 right here on ESPN Monday Night Countdown. And now let's get to one of our favorite parts of the entire week, Big Man Ballin'. It's
time to let loose. Y'all know what time it is. This is Big Man Ballin'. Boom! Get off your feet, bro. Dump him on his head, big fella. No, sir, you cannot pass go. Do not collect $200. He's an amino. Big man touchdown. Let's go. Big man balling. I remember when I used to do that. You made big man balling, big dog. We balling.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're here, Mina. Everybody's here together. And big man balling about to turn up.
Y'all know what time it is. It's time to show the big fellas that's balling out on Sunday. So let's get him cracking right now. Anytime a man score a touchdown and he over 300, y'all know he on here. Look at my man, Kendall Lamb. First of all, Kevin Stefanski, shout out for fooling every damn body, include me when I was watching the game. Look at Kendall Lamb. First he blocks, then he releases. But look at the hands. This is not a body catcher. We were actually athletes at one point. We were not born 300 pounds. We had to be athletic. Good job, big fella. Next thing, I show athletic feats from big men. Look at David Bakhtiari. Look at him run. Aaron Jones actually went to the crib on this, but that is not the story. Look at Bakhtiari. Block. Get your hand on another man. Now hop some big fella. Get down there. This is number three. This is number third guy he gonna touch right here. Now he getting left. He getting left. But you don't give up. You keep going. You go all the way down. Aaron Jones for 6. Baby Bakhtiari, that's called escorting. That's what I do for Mina, Dan, and Laura Relish. Anytime we at the club, I go first to pave the way. And last but not least, I know what all y'all gonna say.
Come on.
Jabril Peppers ain't that big. But damn it, he showed big man traits on this. Look at this. Look at Carson. Oh, my God. I had to blow him up to make him big so y'all believe it. It's traits. Boom! Let me get to the quarterback. Russell Wilson, you got to get sacked by me, big man. I just ran all through right. Your whole football team.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
We doing little
Mina,
man?
What you
are
doing?
We doing little man? Because it's time for little man balling.
What?
God, I'm out of
what?
I genuinely don't know how to follow that, but I'm going to try. One of my favorite fun-sized fellas in the NFL, T.Y.
Who is it?
Whoa. Because yesterday, T.Y. Hilton became T.Y. Four Seasons because he turned in a luxurious performance. And here's the catch I wanted to highlight. It wasn't a teeter, but it was tough.
Oh,
they turned him into a T.Y. sandwich, and he held on to the rock.
Yeah.
He didn't even yell this. He held on to the rock. Okay, they thought he was out of bounds, but Frank Reich
busted his wide receiver, and he challenged it, and it paid off because the little man balling. I know the McNair family, they own the Texans, but so does T.Y. Hilton.
Let's go. I respect it. Oh, my God. That was so good.
Mina,
I love the fact that you came in on that segment, little man balling. God, that's
little
good.
Man balling. Hey.
We're not worthy, and Dan and I
are voting to make Little Man Ballin' a regular thing.
Little Man Ballin'.
All right, we have so much more coming his way on NFL Live as we welcome these two stars back to the set.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Each Monday here on NFL Live, we'll put a spotlight on the High School Football Coach of the Week. This week, the San Francisco 49ers have selected Ricky Rodriguez from James Logan High School in Union City, California. Coach Rodriguez, part of the 49ers Prep Leadership Council, has recently organized 100-plus coaches across California to discuss the pandemic, new ways to play and engage with student-athletes until their spring season. Good job, Coach Rodriguez. Here we're showing you Big Ben live warming up this game, top of the hour on Fox, and he will be active tonight, as you can tell. Scheduled to start for the Steelers. Everyone's laughing at me because we tried to make this like some mystery whether Big Ben was going to play or not. He's obviously going to play. All right, there we go. So let's talk about tonight a little bit more. And for more on that, let's bring in Jeremy Fowler, who is there. 2 weeks for the Steelers. They've seen numerous schedule adjustments. Jeremy, it's been kind of wild. How has the team reacted to all the changes?
Well, Laura, I spoke with a team source that said the only person that's upset about all this, playing three games in 12 days, is tight end Eric Ebron. Ebron, of course, went on the Uninterrupted 17 Weeks podcast and said he'd rather lose a game check than play that many games in 12 days. But they said Ebron's animated. Everybody's good. We follow the lead of Coach Mike Tomlin, who's made clear to his team publicly and privately, we do not care what our schedule says or all the changes coming. He considers them blessed to even have the chance to play football right now. And I just observed all the pregame, and guys looked about as fired up as Swaggoo did earlier in the show. I mean, really getting after it, high intensity, so they are ready to go.
I love it. Hey, listen, they're 11-0. I mean, they've got a chance to continue this history that they are making this year. Thanks so much, Jeremy Fowler. We'll see that game at the top of the hour on Fox. So, Dan, what is the game plan tonight for Roethlisberger against this tough Washington D-line? Can't be underestimated.
Yeah, probably one of the two or three best defensive lines in football. Now, the great thing for Roethlisberger in this offense is the style of kind of offensive football they have played is going to minimize that pass rush. It is catch, throw, point guard, get the ball out of my hands, quick passing game, and allow my guys out in space to go make some plays. So they've got all those weapons. Juju Smith-Schuster's been great. Deontay Johnson's been great. Ebron talking about he doesn't need a paycheck. I'll count for that.
Nah,
yes,
bro.
You do. But getting the ball out, right?
Need all mine. Money.
But getting the ball out of his hands. And then Claypool's been great. I do anticipate this, though. They will continue to take their shots. You know, like, they don't necessarily think about, all right, we've got to only hit them, right? Like, they will continue to try and loosen up defenses. And Big Ben will get to line of scrimmage and go, all right, if you guys are going to play super tight, I'm going to throw this ball over the top. And Claypool's got 10 or 11 touchdowns this year, so they're going to stress defenses like that. But also, they're going to make the Washington football team tackle out in space. And they're doing a good job of it. That will minimize, in some capacity, that defensive line.
You know, sometimes Steelers fans feel like I don't give Ben Roethlisberger enough credit for what he's doing this season. But Dan, you said it. This offense, it rides or dies with him. And the ability, the quickness with which he gets that ball out, it really minimizes what's been a mediocre offensive line, right? Yep. Like numbers don't lie, but they can be misconstrued.
Not what it used to be, sure.
The Steelers they're tops of the league in terms of sack percentage and pressure percentage. That's not because they're winning up front. That's because Ben Roethlisberger is throwing the ball so quickly and making the right pre-snap reads. Now, here comes a Washington defensive line that is better than them up front.
Yeah.
They are outmatched. I mean, we talk a lot about Chase Young. Montez Sweat has been amazing this year. Jonathan Allen. This is on Roethlisberger. Like, the margin for error against this Washington defense is very small.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, I think I'm going to go crazy and break the damn TV in the hotel if Washington football team's defensive line doesn't get their hands up. How much do I tell y'all about that?
Right?
Like that's a part of what your game situational talk throughout the week should be as a defensive line and as a defense, right? Okay, Big Ben getting it out of his hand. I remember so many times playing against Peyton, playing against Tom. Guys, let's get some batted balls. Let's get some tip balls that may turn into interceptions. That should be a point of emphasis for the Washington football team's defense.
Can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I'm an offensive player and I'm an offensive coordinator, I think and anticipate that you're going to do that. I'm telling my guys, like, make sure we get their hands down. I want you to cut block them, get their hands down. What is the then counter to that for you as a defensive lineman?
Please, Lord, let them have that idea when it's pass rushing.
Oh.
Because you're going to miss most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, think about that, Dan. That's a difficult feat. When you're talking about getting guys cut to the ground,
right?
If you miss, the margin of error is
over. I can't hold the ball.
It's over.
I can't hold the ball.
It's over. And even if you get rid of it, we still might hit you
because
we free. It's a battle, obviously, but it's still one of those things that I think are intangible that we don't think about much when we're talking about how fast these quarterbacks are getting out of his hand. And you know what else it does? Once the second batted ball happens and the third batted ball, now I'm looking for windows. Yep. I'm trying to figure out how to make different types of throws. And then on the other side, Bud Dupree. Because, listen, Bud Dupree was multiple in this defense, right? Pass rushers, they have a few of them in the league now. And I know he was up there elite at the top. But what he allowed this defense to do, based on how much they moved him, how many different positions they put him in, that's what I think they're going to miss the most, Mina.
Can you imagine going into this season telling you people, okay, Devin Bush and Bud Dupree both lost for the season. Yeah. Oh, and here comes Antonio Gibson in town trying to make little man balls.
Yeah, for sure.
You think he can get on it next week? I think, like, with the blitz package, too, it's a very detailed blitz package for Pittsburgh, right? Bud Dupree, to your point, Marcus, has responsibilities.
Yeah.
They trust him in coverage. Will they trust Highsmith in coverage as much as they did? Because he would cover, like, athletic tight ends, sometimes receivers.
And just in my heart, Dan, I want to see Highsmith have a good game.
No
doubt.
Former
walk-on UNC Wilmington.
Yeah.
Right, like, just like have success. Hope that he can have
and
a good
game. And give the team confidence that we still can be that team.
Well, and he won't be all on his own doing this because Bud Dupree had a whole bunch that he would have to do by himself. They'll give Highsmith some help. Okay, no huge shock here. We're all on the Steelers tonight.
Oh,
everyone but Dan thinks it'll be a one-possession game, though. That game kicking off just minutes from now. And everyone's signed because when we're all on the same team, didn't go well for that team. But whatever, let's not talk about
pictures.
It. Time for one more thing before we go. Marcus, we start with you. What do you have?
My one more thing. Listen, we talk about players. We talk about physicality, mentality. This is what I want. I want a dog as a head coach, somebody that's going to defend us as players. I know what it is. PC, politically correct. Flores shouldn't have did that. I should have been smarter. Hell no. They took a cheap shot on your player. You went out there to make sure you got it corrected. I love it, Brian Flores.
It was for tiny Jakeem Graham, too. It's like you and me. Listen, this is a PSA for any team playing the Chiefs. If it's the fourth quarter and you're losing,
punch yourself in the face.
And you're in midfield, do not punch!
Don't do it.
Vic Fangio, my man, I think you're a great defensive coach, but I don't know what you were thinking. You can't put the ball back in Patrick Mahomes' hands. You just can't do it.
Totally redeemed yourself. All right, so listen, we often talk about the New England Patriots as a benchmark for an organization and the Kansas City Chiefs, rightfully so. We need to start having that conversation about the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
They're 8-0 in the last 2 years without their Hall of Fame quarterback, right? They're 10-2 this season without only two games being played with Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. That's a big deal.
Yeah, Sheffy said earlier, as Marcus puts his feet up, that they're not even missing Drew
Brees. Hold on, No. Slow down. So shout out to Laura Rutledge, our host. It's her 7-year anniversary today.
Woo!
She's actually
Josh
married
Rutledge.
To a man that looks better than Leonardo DiCaprio. Shout out Josh Rutledge.
Hey, feet off
Happy
the table.
Happy anniversary, L. Boogie.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for watching. Oh, no, not the socks. Oh, no.
Oh,
we said no socks on this show. We're not.